Welcome to the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast is the original podcast covering USC Trojans men's college basketball team and is available on such platforms as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn, as well as at the USCHoops.com website. If you haven't done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a five-star rating and left a review on the platform of your choice. And a very, very happy Tuesday, September 16th, 2025 to everybody, although we were recording at the end of the day, kind of on Tuesday. Today was another open practice for media opportunity for the men's basketball team. And I was again invited, and I'm not able to attend because I don't live in LA, but we sent our great reporter there to do some reporting and come back and report to us. That's Ben Royer. So Ben, thanks again for joining us, and thanks for being able to check out that practice.
Hey, thank you once again for having me, Chase. It's a blast. I mean, getting to see this team come together in real time, so many new faces, as we know. It's always a good time getting out to the Galen Center.
And obviously, you don't get a huge opportunity to spend like hours and hours and hours watching the team, but you always already got a flavor for them a bit over the summer, kind of got to see what was going on a bit. Now these practices seem to be, the summer session practices seem to be more kind of just, trying to get players familiar with each other. There were a lot of kind of like scrimmage scenarios, getting up and down the court. Did you notice a practice day? Was there more kind of like isolated drills or kind of situational practice things, or was it still kind of like open and free flowing?
It was a lot of defending out of free throws. That was, I think, the focus of this. Make a free throw or miss a free throw. What does that look like right afterward? So it turned into mini scrimmage scenarios right after that. But it was very situational. A lot of practicing inbounding plays as well. There was definitely more of a focus than a designated scrimmage. 5-on-5. Of course, some of those drills turn into 5-on-5 type scenarios, but then Coach Musselman would bring it back, talk to the guys, and then they would go on and practice it again. So not necessarily just a regular scrimmage, but definitely more focused, getting in on the particulars, talking to players afterwards. It seems like a lot of the more recent practices has been focusing on the particulars for sure.
And you had told me offline, but I'll let you tell everybody who's listening your big headline takeaway as far as the player that really stood out to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan Marsh looks like the point guard, and it's not just me that's saying that. I mean, Coach Musselman didn't say that he's the starting point guard. He never said those words, but you can tell that Jordan Marsh has just left an unbelievable impression on him coming from summer into these late summer, early fall practices. I mean, Jordan Marsh has the speed, the tenacity to really change the game for USC. I think, once Elijah Arenas became injured, and then there were so many question marks of what does this team look like? Is Rodney Rice going to have to be the primary ball handler at all times? What's going to happen with this team? Jordan Marsh has really stepped in and probably played himself off of like a sixth man or backup guard role into the starting rotation, into a position where he might be the difference maker on this team. I mean, there was a play today where he just cut through all five defenders he was up against. And this was, he was in a red jersey, and there was, some of the guys in yellow jerseys were Marion Dickerson, Ezra Azar was also on that yellow team. So like these guys were having, this is length. It's not like they're slow moving guys. These are guys that are going to be defensive all-stars probably for the Trojans this season. And Jordan Marsh just cut through all of them to the hoop. And for a second, you could see Coach Musselman get a little bit, angry. You don't want to see a defensive lapse like that. But then you also saw him kind of think to himself, I think, man, this Jordan Marsh guy can really be a difference maker. Something that Coach Musselman said afterwards that was just kind of pointed to me is that, like, they said he's like a one man press. I mean, he has the ability to really change the game with his speed, change the tempo of the game, and make USC move a lot faster, which is something that I think Coach Musselman wants to try and do with the length he actually will have on the floor.
So that, it's really interesting in how obviously, the combination of the emergence of Marsh and the The injury to a lot, unfortunate injury to Elijah Arena has really kind of thrust him into the spotlight, kind of changed the character of the team a little bit as far as what this team's going to look like as far as focal points and how much of it is going to be like a half court shooting team versus maybe up and down the court, try to really get in passing lanes type team. You mentioned to me, you still probably have a little bit of concerns about the shooting on this team outside of Rodney Rice.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that certainly. I mean, there was a moment where EJ Neal made a great corner three, but then again, it was like a desperation three. It was, like last second shot falling backwards. I mean, it was a great shot, and he looked, comfortable shooting. But besides Rodney Rice, there's not really anyone I noticed that was really making shots comfortably. There was a few mid-range, opportunities where, Jacob Kofi made a few shots. Even Terrence Williams, who's, now back and into the fold, made a few mid-range jumpers, but no one really looked super comfortable out there besides Rodney Rice. I mean, Rodney Rice is willing to take a shot from anywhere on the floor, contested or not. I think there's a confidence that comes with having a shooter like that that you definitely want to lean on, but when he's maybe your only guy you're leaning on as a shooter, that's when you're probably going to have some more issues. Musselman didn't, necessarily talk on the shooting aspect of things. There was a big emphasis on getting guys open. He brought back, after a few rotations, he kept on saying, "You guys need to communicate about being saying the word open just so you guys are thinking to get open." And I think that's something that you also have to look at. Maybe these guys are not necessarily thinking as shooters right now because they haven't really had to play that role on any of the teams they've been on. Eric Musselman made a point to say that Amarian Dickerson has a better three-point shot than people probably think. I haven't seen that in practice, the two practices I've watched, but if that is the case, that maybe opens up the floor a little bit more, knowing that he can be comfortable taking a three, because he's got the size to really change the game when he's on the floor. If you add his quickness, his lateral quickness, to a three-point shot, he could be a real 3-and-D player for the Trojans. But besides Rodney Rice, I still haven't seen anyone really take that step shooting wise.
You'd mentioned Terrence Williams. He's obviously back now from that, really lingering injury we've talked about on this podcast before. I think there's been a lot of people kind of have been assuming that he would step in right away and kind of be right in the rotation and maybe even a starter. I've been more skeptical about that. I know it's very early and he's still kind of working his way back into shape, but did you have an impression of how he looked out there kind of compared to other kind of wing type players that we're looking at for rotational guys?
Well, so I was also thinking about that as well a little bit. Earlier today, after practice, I like put together like a mini mock depth chart, and I was like trying to figure out where does Terrence Williams really fit into this, because lengthwise, he's the same size as Baker Mazar and Dickerson, but Dickerson and Baker Mazar have the length to kind of change the game, where Terrence Williams does not, and he kind of plays maybe a little bit more like a four than those guys do. So you can see that he's still kind of slowly getting back into it. Musselman says he's pretty much full go. In this last practice, they said he was, he said his wrist was not still 100%. Maybe it is now. We didn't get to talk to him today, but he still looked like a guy getting used to practicing again. Definitely did not have many highlight moments in this practice, but he still looked like the physical force that he was when he was healthy. But now he has other guys that he's competing with that bring a different length that differs from him. Coach Musselman was did speak about him glowingly, though. I mean, he said, despite him being a little bit heavier right now because he wasn't in basketball shape, not practicing week to week, besides that, he recorded all-time high, foot speed on both vertical and lateral foot movement. I mean, so he has the quickness, I think Coach Musselman's saying. It's just getting him back into proper basketball shape. So I would lean that he's probably not going to be a starter right away. I mean, I can't say that for a fact, but he still looked like a player getting used to practicing. I don't know if you want to throw him into those immediate games in that starting role. You might want to ease him back in, allow him to build some confidence, maybe in some, early season garbage time minutes, and get used to playing basketball again. I mean, he is one of the few holdovers, and you might want to see him take that step, but him being injured doesn't really help.
Yeah, and he's in an interesting situation because last year one of my criticisms as the season unfolded, it became more clear what the personnel looked like on the team. One of in the other guys on the podcast as well, our kind of our observation was that Musselman had ended up recruiting. I mean, in his efforts to really recruit a lot of guys of like 6'6" to 6'7", 6'8". He ended up recruiting a lot of guys that were actually kind of undersized power forwards at the college level. That St. Thomas for sure, maybe Buzo Agbo fits into that category. And I think Terrence Williams was almost like the poster child for that. And when I say undersized four, I mean he's not really the full size that you'd want at four. He's not really going to give you a lot of rim protection. But as a three, he just seems a bit a tad bit slow, not enough activity that you don't really want him switching on to opposing guards. And then we really seem to have an entire team built around that last year. And this year, you can definitely see it to me, at least, the way I kind of see the team. When you bring in guys like Baker Mazzara and Amarian Dickerson, you're really saying, look, I want wings who can guard guards. I want wings that can guard all over the court. And I'm not sure that Terrence Williams fits that. What positions he's able to guard, how many different areas on the court he's able to kind of threaten on offense. So I'm be curious to see how he progresses. I think we need to give him a chance to progress. I don't want to judge him too early, and certainly not based upon him just coming immediately off injury. But I think, it will be fascinating to watch kind of him versus like this new style of team that Musselman has put together with the athleticism.
Yeah, and then you look at the guys that he'd be competing for 4 minutes with. I mean, Ezra Azar, Jacob Kofi, even, Musselman said American Dickerson might see some minutes at the four. I mean, you've just got guys that are quicker and if not the same size, if not larger than Terrence Williams. I mean, he's definitely got that brute physicality that you'd want in if you did have to have an undersized big on the floor. But the thing is, now you've got guys that have similar physicality and move quicker, have more of that dynamic playmaking to them, that lateral quickness that allows you to force turnovers that Terrence Williams doesn't have. I mean, I think we'll have to see in game action how he develops and gets used to being part of this new group. I mean, it's one thing to think about last year's team, but this is truly one wholly different team and a different way of playing basketball that everyone's gonna have to get used to watching.
Another guy who you had kind of mentioned to me offline that you weren't quite sure if he there's a, if there's going to be a spot for him to fit in is Jane Brunell. I was curious about that too because I the two practices I went to, the first one in particular, he looked a little bit off compared to the other guys. Now he fit in, I thought, a little better when we saw him at the kind of the donor event practice that ended the summer. But I'm still have question marks. Would you, any impressions from him today?
Yeah, so he made a few mid-range shots, but then you look at how he plays in these 5-on-5 moments, and I mean, I think he's better defensively right now than Gabe Dines is. Gabe Dines has incredible height. Coach Musselman's talked so glowingly about how he's developed over the last few months. He said today that he's better than he thought he was going to be when he got him in the portal. So I think that's also a pretty good sign for how he feels about Gabe Dines. I think you're likely going to slot him in as the starting center, but then also Musselman said he saw Ezra Azar as a potential small ball five. And if you're not seeing Brunell as your small ball five, where is Brunell kind of fitting into this? Because I don't think he's going to be forcing minutes at the four either. He allows them to space the floor a little bit. He does a really good job with that. He's good at outlet passes. I just don't see him making those strides that you have to make if you want to get playing time on a team that brought in a ton of transfers that have already played a lot and are used to playing a lot and want to fight for those minutes. I haven't seen Jaden Brunell take that step. He looks a little bit slower than the rest of the team at this point. Again, he is a big guy. He's not going to be, running up and down the floor with immense speed, but you might want to see him make those, high IQ plays that, making that extra effort on an offensive rebound attempt or something that makes you go, this guy needs to get on the floor. He hasn't done that yet from what I've seen. And the way Coach Musselman talked about his role is that he didn't really specify what that role looked like for Jaden Brunell when asked about it. And I think that kind of says, in my opinion, of course, it's my opinion, not Coach Musselman's, where he sees Jaden Brunell right now, which is more of a question mark, maybe something that gets figured out when you actually see him against guys that aren't in Cardinal and Gold.
A couple guys, just to talk about really briefly. I know that I think last week Ryan Cornish was not healthy. Did he practice today?
I believe he did, yes.
Okay, so I guess other than Elijah, it sounds like I think most of the guys were out there practicing. Jerry Easter, obviously, kind of the one now healthy freshman left on the team. Are you getting the sense that he's, the learning curve is still pretty steep for him? What did you notice about him today?
So he was, so there was two teams today. So there was, a red team and a yellow team, or Cardinal and Gold. And so Rodney Rice and Jordan Marsh were on the red team, so that forced open a point guard spot on the gold team. And Jerry Easter was point guard, and he looked fine ball handling, but he also looked like a freshman that has not met the physicality of college basketball yet. He was making some good passes, but then he was also turning the ball over a fairly high rate, in my opinion. When Jordan Marsh was on him on defense, I mean, he was stripping the ball with relative ease, in my opinion. He looks like a player that will get into games when someone's in foul trouble or they want to switch things up. But I Jerry Easter seems to be a true freshman in the sense of he shows the little sparks of making big plays, but because he's playing against guys bigger and older than him, and not just older, but like 3, 4 years older than him, or in Baker Mazzara's case, more than that. I mean, it's a physicality thing. It's something that Jerry Easter is going to have to get used to and adjust to over the next few weeks, over the next few months, maybe by Big Ten play, true Big Ten play in, December, January, he kind of shows the might that shows he's ready to face up against these guys. But right now, even in practice, he looks like, he's still getting used to playing the speed, the intensity that college basketball actually brings.
I had heard a little bit through the grapevine that Muss is very high on Jacob Kofi, but he's not sure if Kofi c realizes how good he can be, and Muss is pushing him really hard. Did you notice any of that at practice today? Any special attention to Kofi, or was he kind of just seemed like blending in with other guys?
He was blending in with other guys, I would say. I wouldn't say any extra attention, but you look at Jacob Kofi on the floor, and he has the ability to make big plays, but sometimes he's a little too passive in the post. He can be a game changer, I believe. I mean, I am personally very big on Jacob Kofi, but I think you're waiting for him to decide he can change the game. I think he sees guys like Ezra Azar or Marion Dickerson make plays, and he goes, "No, that's their job to make plays." No, it also can be yours if he has the speed. I mean, for being a 6'10" guy, he moves very quick. He's got the speed to make defensive plays at the rim. It's just up for him to decide he can do it. They were practicing a fair bit of inbounding plays, like I said earlier. And Jacob Kofi can throw it down. I mean, they were making a point of, showing a little bit of extra flair on those inbound plays. I mean, of course, Gabe Dines can do that easily. He barely has to jump. But Jacob Kofi was doing it with some physicality and momentum. I think he does need a little bit of extra encouragement, but I think that's something that, as you were saying, Coach Musselman might also like. I mean, to develop a guy like Jacob Kofi, get him into the system. I mean, in past college basketball years, you needed like two or three guys to get your guys ready. He had the freshman year, he getting used to, college basketball and the physicality it brings. Now as a sophomore, he can maybe take that step with Musselman, take that step and really impact the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he forced his way into starting minutes at some point this season.
So you kind of have gone over some of the comments that Coach Musselman made. Can you just describe? So what happened? You went through the practice at the end. Was there kind of like a media scrum? It doesn't sound like necessarily you guys went down to the press conference room like before.
So, right after practice, Coach Musselman actually surprised Chad Baker Mazzara with his Auburn Final Four ring, which was a pretty cool moment. Coach Musselman made it a point like, It's good to celebrate guys getting these moments like this, but it's also, I think, a reminder to the rest of the team that what is possible. A really cool moment for Baker Mazzara. He was smiling the entire time, even for the next 20 minutes. The guy just kept on looking at this ring on his finger. We talked to Musselman for about 7 or 8 minutes, I would say. He kind of went over, he said, no updates on Elijah, not probably for a while. He talked a little bit about, what I've already said about guys like Jordan Marsh or Ezra Azar and how they might fit into the team a little bit more. He did a few updates on Terrence Williams, talked about how good of a player Rodney Rice is again, but that's not a surprise. And then from there, we did go down to the press conference room where we talked to Chad Baker-Mazzara, Jaden Brownell, and we talked to Ezra Azar as well. Again, but they did, none of the three really had much to say per se. I'll notice one thing. And again, going back to Jordan Marsh, Ezra Azar said probably my quote of the day, I would say, which is, "If you're not playing at Jordan Marsh speed, get off the floor." And that's me paraphrasing a little bit, but that was pretty much the quote he said. And I think if that's how the team is internalizing how Jordan Marsh changes the game, you might see this team playing a lot more all-in effort, a lot faster, running down the floor. And if a guy like Ezra Azar, who's going to be one of the bigs on the team, is thinking about that, I think that's a chance for real impact plays being made because Jordan Marsh is on the floor with them.
Interesting. Good stuff. I guess any I mean I don't I haven't asked you this offline, so I'm just kind of curious. Was there any hint or discussion that you heard about regarding recruiting? Because obviously there's been kind of like this interesting situation where almost none of the top recruits nationally have committed, and a whole bunch of them are actually local in Southern California. Did you hear any talk about that while you were there, or is that still kind of like a taboo thing to even hear about?
They had a recruit on a visit while we were there. I couldn't get the name of the recruit that was there, but they did have a recruit watching practice. Going into those, and that was interesting. I believe on an and then later on they had a Mus had to after his after his sorry after his press conference, Mus had to go to a high school to watch some recruits play as well, probably visiting his high school. I know he was at Notre Dame the other day, LA Times reported. So he's doing his rounds, he's looking things left and right, but definitely nothing to report when it comes to getting those guys to actually commit. I think Mus is doing a good job of getting out there, being really visible, which is something that I think is difficult nowadays. And I think Musselman's doing a really great job of that.
And we should probably just mention the news that when he was at Notre Dame High School, because and this is kind of an interesting situation where you have the number one recruit in the nation, or the number one guy ranked in, I think, almost every different service, Tyron Stokes, who's kind of traveled around the country. He spent some time in San Diego, and he had spent some time up in the Bay Area. But his earlier life, up until like the age of 13, he was in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, and now he's kind of settled, in LA for the past couple years, and been going to Notre Dame. Well, all of a sudden, he decides that this is a 6'8" kind of like hybrid small forward, power forward. I mean, exciting player on the basketball court. Really like intense at the rim. He decided he was going to go and play football. He was up in pads. I think it was yesterday. Today's yeah. So it must have been yesterday. And Must showed up at the football practice. So that's an interesting kind of turn of events. I can't imagine he'd continue playing football into college, especially when all the money that's available playing in the NBA. But yeah, I'm sure have you heard about this story?
Oh, I sure have. And, Mus brought up without being prompted about it today. He's like, "I love recruiting football players. I want guys that have played football on my team." When he was asked about physicality, he's like, "I think I got four or five guys on this team that used to play football." Ezra Azar was asked about football. A bunch of his family members have played football, and he's like, "Well, my family, when I was starting to get playing to football, they started reading up more on CTE, and they didn't want me to play anymore, so I started playing basketball." But then he also said, if the football team came calling today, he would put on a helmet and pads and get out there as a walk-on. I think Musselman knows the type of player he wants, and I think deep down he likes that he's seeing a recruit, one, not just join a football team, but also taking on a second sport, which is so much rarer nowadays in high level, recruits for both football and basketball. A lot of these guys just play one sport now. I think Musselman definitely relished the idea of another guy putting on the pads, showing a little bit of extra physicality out there, something that he thinks translates to the basketball court.
So yeah, we're gonna have to really follow the news. I mean, I'm curious to see how, Stokes, if he actually plays in a high school football game, how that goes. And just in general, what's going on, what will happen with all these local recruits and where they end up landing. I know St. John Bosco still has they still have Taj Ariza and Collins. And but Brandon McKay has moved over to go to Sierra Canyon. So there's a lot of movement, interesting things, and we'll have to see where these guys land. Meanwhile, the current players on the team, for what it's worth, I think the only guys that are clearly out of eligibility after this season are Baker Mazzara and Brunell and Azar. I think everybody else on the team, maybe Neal, AJ Neal. I'm not sure about him, or and Cornish, but a lot of the other guys that are kind of looking for more minutes, in theory at least, could have more years in college, and that even includes Marion Dickerson, depending on how the whole Pavia appeal ends up going. So, what the team will look like next year is a really big open question. Of course, we're just about to start the season. Okay, well, I really appreciate Ben, you joining us. Any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I appreciate them, bring up the media for these practices. It's always a good look at the team, allowing us to, kind of give you guys insights before the season starts. I know it's exciting. Definitely already a very different team from the summer to the fall of what people have expected with, Elijah's injury, but things are starting to develop, and I think a team identity is taking shape, and hopefully it continues to take shape over the next few weeks and we get a better idea next time we're out there.
Well, look, I really appreciate you, Ben, for being there. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. And also thank you, just the SC basketball team for including media in these kind of events and kind of just opening the kimono, so to speak, to let us report on what's going on. I think it's great for the program, and it's great to try to drum up interest. So thank you to everyone, and until next time, fight on, and we'll see you soon.